Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. What a joy it is to be in context of worship with you. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you will quickly come in and grab a seat, I have a few morning announcements to share with you to kick things off. If you'll give your attention to the back tables, we have back there Disciple 1, 2, and Christian Believer. If you're looking for spiritual formation and just great Christian educational content, you want to check out one of these classes. It's called Christian Disciple 1, Disciple 2, or either Christian Believer. Sign-up sheets are in the back. Bob Weston, I think, is back there. Bob, if you'll wave to us quickly. Thank you so much. See Bob, and he'll get you some more information. And also, Alpha Ministry is back there. How many of you have taken the Alpha course? Just look around. All right, wonderful. Well, we need your help. If you've taken the Alpha course, if you will please begin to spread the word. The preview kickoff for Alpha is this Thursday at 6 o'clock. We have a delicious meal, outstanding movie, and fruitful fellowship. We would love to have you. Jim and Ann are in the back. If you would just wave to us quickly. See them for more additional information regarding Alpha. At this time, friends, let me share with you the Trinity Liturgy. Welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. Let us bow now for a brief moment of prayer. Gracious God, you indeed are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we thank you for the gift of this worship opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Please prepare our hearts and our minds as we go forth in you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Welcome to worship here, and you know that song, The Battle Belongs to the Lord, and the reason why the battle belongs to the Lord is because He is great. And that's what I want us to stand right now and sing, just how great is our God. So lift up your voices.
Call me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you will please keep in your thoughts and prayers the names that you see on the screens. There may be some additional names upon your hearts, situations that we're unaware of. If you would also just get them on your hearts and minds as we together go to the Lord in prayer. If you feel comfortable also, grab the hand of your neighbor and let's just bow our heads now. As the musician plays softly, Father, we worship you now. God, we thank you and we praise you for this beautiful day. God, we invoke and invite your presence to be with us that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for our first successful school week. We thank you for the teachers and the students who've returned. We thank you for the balance and the order that we find when we focus in on you. Lord, you tell us in your word that he whose mind is stayed on thee shall be kept in perfect peace. We pray this morning for that peace which surpasses all understanding. May that peace guard our hearts and our minds, O Lord. God, we also pray this morning that you'll order our steps in you, O God. Draw us nearer to you, O God. Keep us, O God, close by your heart. Father, we pray for all the families that make up this church. God, we ask that you'll just be with us in a special way. We pray for the leadership of the church and all the ministries and departments that we'll work together. And just be united, O God, on one accord. And, O God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever we pray. Amen. Jan Banks is going to come now. Where are you, Jan? You're right here. Will you put your hands together as Jan Banks comes forward? Doesn't she look wonderful this morning?
Good morning. Can I have my staff, that whoever's here today, come on up, please? Good morning from Stepping Stones. We're so happy to be here today. Our theme for the next school year is called It's a Small World, and we're about to embark on a journey. Not just any trip, though. We're following Jesus around the world as we navigate our way to distant countries and faraway shores. We'll be learning about children from all around the world, and these are a few of our awesome ambassadors for the Lord. So I'd like to take a minute and introduce you to some of our staff, if I can. I have Heidi Douglas, who was brave to stand right here beside me. Linda Kilmer, my assistant director. Robin Parker, Karen Rowe, Lucy West, Marley. Kind of nod your head so they know who you are. Christy Cardozo, Nicole Becker, Amy Hofstetter, Melissa Hollingsworth, Jenny Smith, Aubrey Davies, Monica Godwin, Sherry Junis, Andrea Agnew, Sarah Steen, Michelle Rupp, and Stacy Scott. And that's just a few. In closing, I would just like you to continue to pray for us and safe passage as we travel the globe. But we're really not too worried. After all, he's got the whole world in his hands.
Amen. Hey, before you leave, let's just, while you're standing here, let me just offer a quick prayer regarding this school semester. Gracious God, we thank you for Jan and her awesome leadership. And we thank you for all of the Stepping Stones teachers who are standing here today. Your word tells us, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. So God, keep them together in your unity. And God, we claim right now in the name of Jesus, a successful school year. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let's hear it again for our Stepping Stone teachers.
Thanks, David. We are really grateful for each of the mission boxes, particularly today. Doug Jones, an administrator at Santa Fe College. I remember when Doug shared with me this vision that he's been involved in for several years. Take stock in children. Powerful, powerful thing, and I know you'll want to contribute to that. Before Doug speaks, I just want to mention that his wonderful wife, Elizabeth Jones, is our new Trinity Kids Children's Ministry Director. Over there leading the charge. You're surrounding her with prayers and support. She really needs your support for CHEERS. We need 4, 5, or 6 more teachers in order to launch it this Wednesday night. So if you can help with that, stop over and see Elizabeth. She'll be so thrilled that you're coming there. And Doug and Jones and Elizabeth, we're so glad you guys are longtime members of Trinity. Would you give Doug a warm welcome?
Thank you so much for allowing me a couple minutes of your time. I arrived here at Trinity about 25 years ago when Marvin McMillan invited me. And over that period of time, I've been so amazed and impressed with how this church has reached out to our world through missions and through service. And, you know, that has been, you know, with the Appalachian Service Project, with other initiatives around the state here and in the Caribbean and in Central America and even in Africa. And those have all been awesome things that I'm so proud that we've been involved with. The thing I want to tell you about today is a very local type of a thing. The Take Stock in Children program is an initiative that, and let me apologize as I begin. This Prezi looked wonderful on my home computer, and the contrast is not great here. So I'm going to ask if we can put it on the Trinity website, and it's certainly at the Education Foundation website. But I'm going to let it run because it helps me stay on track here. This program, the Take Stock in Children program, is one where we identify at-risk children. These are children who have free and reduced lunch. And in a given year, there will be about 350 of these students who would be eligible to be a part of the Take Stock program. For the past 12 or 15 years, we've been able to select about 20 of them in each given year. The thing that's kind of neat about it is it's a mentoring program, and it's a program to where we provide support for these students. And when they're selected as seventh graders, they are made aware then that there has been a Florida prepaid scholarship purchased for them. Okay, so all they have to do is do what they can take care of themselves. You know, can mostly take care of themselves in terms of being at school, keeping a 2.5 GPA, staying out of trouble, and meeting with their mentor. These students graduate at a 92%. Let me show you. This is our most recent class that we selected of students. And then this next one is, we'll touch on the mentoring piece, and that's part of what we're going to ask today is for folks who might be willing to consider being a mentor for one of these students. The students, as they go through the program, we follow them until they graduate high school, and then we help them move into a college environment. That scholarship is good and is in their name and is guaranteed for them. This picture here is half of our most recent graduating class, and the young man in the blue striped shirt in the back right corner there is Kyle Smith, who's the student who I've had the honor and pleasure of mentoring for the last 6 years. For those of you who haven't been a mentor, there's little that can be more satisfying than making the type of difference you can. It's very easy. It's spending half an hour at lunch with them every week or every other week. And not complicated. Somebody who cares and maybe a little more knowledgeable about life than some of the other persons that, you know, that are, have been around them, and knowledgeable as well about the college process. So the thing that's great with this is that 92% of these students over the last 12 to 15 years have graduated high school. Now, here's why that's important. The graduation rate for all students is about 76%, okay? So they graduate at a higher rate than the everybody. If you compare them, however, to the other 330 that were not selected for this program out of the 350 eligible, those kids graduated a 57% graduation rate. So it's both inspiring in the difference it makes and heartbreaking in the fact that there's that many other kids who were it not for having an opportunity like this, would succeed in graduating high school. What we do with that now is we need to raise for each Florida prepaid scholarship $8,000. The state of Florida matches the money, so if we raise $4,000, then that means that we have the $8,000 needed to add one of these kids to the program. And again, if the difference in a normal year for us, 20 kids, 18 graduate. If they weren't part of the program, 11 graduate. That's 7 more graduates with only 20 kids. We're going to go to 70 kids this year, so that's why we need help with that. So I'm hopeful that that you will do one of two things or both things. Consider making a contribution to the Mission Box this day to help us fund a scholarship, and perhaps even more importantly, visit with me in the narthex here to get a packet to consider being a mentor in the program. We've had probably about 20 Trinity members who I'm aware of who have been a part of the program and mentored, folks like Kathy Dixon, Dave Yonatis, Peggy Ward, many others. There's probably people in the room here who have been a part of the program, and it's a wonderful way for us to make a difference. And thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Thank you, Doug. You know, Jan and I went to Hawaii, in case you didn't know, for our 40th wedding anniversary, and I understand that Davis and Judy celebrated your 52nd anniversary yesterday. Congratulations. And I'd like you to stand and turn to somebody you didn't come to church with, speaking of children. Tell them the city and state you were living in when you were in preschool or first started to school, first grade, kindergarten. You got that? If not, go ahead and do it anyway, yeah.
Bless you. You may be seated. Friends, at this time, let us go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank you yet for another opportunity to worship you by way of our giving. We also pray blessings upon the Take Stock and Children Initiative, and we ask your blessing upon this offering. Bless the gift as well as the giver. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Chance that maybe we'll find better things.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you. And I understand the blind up above is going to be fixed this week, and so that won't be so bright on your eyes. But Sunlight, we're so glad you're here, and I'm going to really try to make these sermons really connect with you. I'm going to have a lot of visuals today. Let me know through Donna or whatever, or Steve, if that helps or not. Hopefully you'll say yes, it'll help. But at any rate, let me ask, begin with this question. How many of you have received too much encouragement in your life? Sunlight had a great song, Better Days. We can make somebody's day better or worse, often by the words we say. I'm going to begin with this short video that one of you sent me about the power of words.
do to my saying?
I wrote a saying, but in different words.
Thanks, Lord.
Well, power of words, and the words love, kindness, maybe they've never been put together in such a powerful way as in 1 Corinthians 13, our scripture for this morning. You hear it often read at weddings. The next few weeks we want to spend some time on this as we focus on loving like Jesus. Let me read again and hear it as if for the first time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, while I was away this summer, one of the books I read was called Love Works. I'll show you the book here because sometimes you don't catch it when I say it and some of you ask me later. It's written by Joel Manby. Joel Manby had become the CEO for a theme park entertainment company, a company, Henschel Something Family Entertainment, I think. Two brothers named Henschel started it in a cave, charging to go through a cave in Missouri, Branson, Missouri. Now they own 20 or 30 theme parks around the country, Wild Adventures, some in Tennessee, whatever. And they had built this company on this business of 1 Corinthians 13, love. And Joel Manby writes this book really for all the CEOs, everybody who leads any kind of organization. All of you who lead any kind of organization or family, you really ought to get this book. It's a tremendous book. Built on the principles of 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to look at the first two today. Love is patient and love is kind. And in this book, early on, under kindness, he tells about the time when he's a senior at Battle Creek High School. He's quite a bit of a football athlete. Quite a good athlete. Played football, baseball, basketball, track. And was recognized and well known. And for his senior graduation, senior banquet, he and his mom and dad were going to the banquet. He said, that night I don't remember anything the coach said at the banquet, but I'll never forget what my mom did. He said, as we were walking down the hall, the three of us, there were three or four freshmen, young people, obviously freshmen, coming the other way. And they said, hi, Joel. And I just kind of nodded at them and went on. Not a good move, he said. Because as soon as we got around the corner and were private, my mother moved me against the wall and jabbed her finger in my chest, something she'd never done before. And she said, listen to me, young man. Every day, every time you meet somebody, you have an opportunity to make their day better or worse. And I don't think you made theirs better. With the role you've got in this high school, you have the obligation to make their day better, and you didn't do it. He said, I've never forgotten that. Mom had never done that before, never did it since, but I've never forgotten that. All throughout my leadership, my role in various companies, that's been emblazoned on my being. I have an opportunity to make somebody else's day better or make it worse. Now, every morning when he gets up for the first 20 minutes, he reviews the previous day and he thinks of three persons who could use a word of encouragement on a job well done, and he writes them a note every day. After the first service, one of you gave me this note, John Wooden, autobiography. They call me Coach. Here's the quote. Let no day go by without helping someone who will never be able to repay you. Kindness. Kindness. What a wonderful thing. And related to that, and the one that Paul puts first, is patience. Love is patient. And I think the reason he puts it first is if we can get that one, we'll avoid so many other problems. But being patient. Patience, the definition, is having self-control in difficult situations. And you and I have all been in difficult situations, and sometimes we have self-control, and sometimes we don't. When I was in high school, I played in the band. Steve, where are you? At any rate, I wasn't very good. I played a baritone, horn. And I hadn't memorized the music. We were supposed to memorize the music for this particular deal. And that little high school, the band director knew that some of us probably hadn't memorized the music. And so he said, okay, we're all going to play, but I'm going to shut off the lights so you can't have the music in front of you. It's dark. But you have to keep playing. So I was playing. He came by. He heard how horrible it was. Turned the lights on and called me out by name and dressed me down in front of everybody else. It's actually so painful. I mean, I hadn't thought about it in years, but I'm right back there right now. It's a terrible thing to have done. I don't think I articulated it at the time, but I determined then I would never diminish somebody's dignity publicly if I ever had the opportunity to do that, be with somebody. Joel Mamie tells a similar story, one that sort of jogged my memory. He had moved up the ranks of Saturn. He was CEO of Saturn, North America, I guess. Done really well. Saab at that time was a part of the General Motors family, and they had been struggling. So the head people made him head of North America, Saab for North America. And they turned around a $50 million loss to a $10 million gain. They'd had five straight quarters of success, but the sixth quarter was not a success due to various situations of product and that sort of thing. Easter morning, he gets a call from Stockholm where the guy is literally shouting through the phone and said, I want you in my office. Get on the plane the first thing in the morning. So $10,000 later, he's over in Stockholm. He's in front of all of the counterparts from around the world. And the head of the Saab dresses him down publicly. And he said the same thing I said. I somehow had self-control not to blast away, to take it. But I determined there and then never to do that to anybody else. Never to diminish somebody else's dignity. And that began my emotional detachment from Saab. And he moved on to something else. Patience is a key thing. Wow. That inner self-control. I came across the idea of a clip from the movie Gettysburg, 1993. Martin Sheen. And in this scene that you're going to see here in a minute, Robert E. Lee and General Jeb Stuart. Jeb Stuart has let down the Confederate Army. He messed up big time. On the first day of the Battle of Gettysburg, he had failed in what he was supposed to carry out. It was an opportunity for Lee to dress him down publicly. But that's not what Lee does. You'll see in the scene that he makes sure from his assistant that it's only Stuart and himself. Nobody else is to be in there. It's dark. It's lit. And he does this appropriate correction in such a way. Well, you'll see it. At the end, Stuart feels better about himself at the end. It's a marvelous piece. Let's watch this scene from Gettysburg.
What day is it now, Major?
It's long after midnight, sir. It's already Friday.
Friday, July the 3rd?
Yes, sir.
And tomorrow is the 4th of July.
Sir?
Independence Day?
Huh. I've quite forgotten.
Good Lord has a sense of humor. I'm very sorry to keep you up so late.
It is my pleasure.
We should have a larger spare.
I'd be offended, sir. I can do the work. General Stuart is waiting to see you, sir. Shall I bring him in?
Of course. Major?
Yes?
General Stewart and I must not be disturbed.
Very well, sir.
Thank you.
General Lee will see you now, sir.
You wish to see me, sir?
It is the opinion of some excellent officers that you have let us all down.
General Lee, sir, if you'll please tell me who these gentlemen are.
There will be none of that. There is no time.
Sir, I only ask that I be allowed to defend my...
There is no time. General Stewart, your mission was to free this army from the enemy cavalry and to report any movement by the enemy's main body. That mission was not fulfilled. You left here with no word of your movement or movement of the enemy for several days. Meanwhile, we were engaged here, drawn into battle without adequate knowledge of the enemy's strength or position, without knowledge of the ground. So it is only by God's grace that we did not meet disaster here.
Didn't believe there were reasons.
Perhaps you've misunderstood my orders. Perhaps I did not make myself clear. Well, sir, this must be made very clear. You, sir, with your cavalry, are the eyes of this army. Without your cavalry, we are made blind. That has already happened once. It must never, never happen again.
Sir, since I no longer hold the general...
I have told you there is no time for that. There is no time. There's another fight coming tomorrow, and we need you. We need every man, God knows. You must take what I have told you and learn from it, as a man does. There has been a mistake. It will not happen again. I know your quality. You are one of the finest cavalry officers I have ever known, and your service to this army has been invaluable. Now, let us speak no more of this. The matter is concluded. Good night, Jim.
Remarkable man. Now, on a little lighter note, Jan and I, as you know, went to Hawaii for our 40th. And if ever one needs patience and kindness, it's when one travels with somebody else. And you know, this was probably our best trip, maybe ever. And I've been trying to figure out why it was our best trip ever. And partly, Hawaii is such a beautiful place. But partly, this was Jan's idea. I'm always the one that wants to go and do this. And I suggest to Jan, why don't we go to Africa or Moscow and wonder why she's not excited about it. Or I suggest we do this or this or this. But I said, Jan, this is your retirement and our 40th. Do you have a thought? And she said, yeah, I'd like to go to Hawaii. I said, why would anybody want to go to Hawaii when we live in Florida? But here's hope for some of you. That in my old age, I'm beginning to change a little bit, and it's really good. Because I've learned on this trip to try to defer more to Jan's desires. 63 years old, I'm finally doing that. So, but really, and if we hadn't
gone with Jan's idea, we would have missed out on an amazing trip. The first thing is we went to Oahu, and Hadley and Bonnie Hartman were, speaking of kindness and patience, you guys were amazing. They were hosted us for 2.5 days or 3 days. I can't thank you enough. I probably shouldn't call you out because now everybody wants to come to your place in Hawaii. All right. They're there a month, almost every summer. And we would have missed out on this that they took us to. This first slide is this, all these green sea turtles, huge. Jan was real close to them. We were all close to them. Bonnie often swims with them. It was really cool. The water's a little cold for Hadley and I. That was glorious. And then the next slide is this jump rock that is right there on the North Shore. That's where Hadley and Bonnie stay, where the big waves come in the wintertime, 40-foot waves, and I'd like to go back and see those people surfing. But this is jump rock, and so we were about ready to leave, and Hadley says, oh, man, you know, every summer I come here, and one of the traditions that we always do, I get my brother to do this, and all my guests, we go up on top of this thing. It's only 30 feet high, and we jump off. And I said, oh, Hadley, oh, my. And Hadley looked at me with those convincing eyes, and I thought, oh, gee, you know, here's the problem. If I don't go jump, I'm going to face Hadley every Sunday. He sits out there on the second row, and he's going to say, you phony preacher, you talk about faith, and you were too scared to jump off that little rock up there. Oh, he didn't say that. But so then Jan, in her nurturing, kindergarten nurturing sort of way, she sees that I'm in a pickle, and she said, sweetheart, I'll go up with you. And so she kind of nurtures me like a kindergarten, and we walk up these steps, and I don't know if you can tell, but there, everybody up there, you see that real skinny guy on the outside? That's me over, no, that's not me. There's everybody up there is 15, 16, sunlight, your age. And then here's the rest, then here's Hadley and Jan and me. And I'm thinking, what are we doing up here? I mean, it's a long way down there. But Hadley says, it'll be all right. And so Hadley jumps off. Of course, he does this every summer. And, you know, he, and then Jan kind of nurtures me to the edge, and I jump. And then Jan said, a wind seemed to blow up, and she's standing there like all alone, and then she jumped. At any rate, I'm not sure why I wanted to, I just wanted to let you know I jumped on that thing. any rate, now here's the deal. Hadley can sit there now and say, oh, wow, my preacher has a lot of faith. But Bonnie said, my thinking from now on is going to be, I've got a preacher there who doesn't have any smarts. He jumped off that big rock. What's the deal? The next one is, then we got to Kauai, and, you know, we drove around. If you've been there, you drive around here, and then you drive around here, and then you drive up the canyon, and then you're pretty well done. It's beautiful. Plus, it's more than that. But we're about ready to finish up, and Jan said, I think we should take a helicopter ride. And I said, we've just seen the island. she said, no, I think we should see a helicopter ride. And, you know, and so I deferred. And, wow, if I had not deferred her, we would have missed, I mean, this amazing picture. Right down there is one of the scenes where Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean, there's a tunnel there. And those who are older, King Kong, there was a scene shown there. And then the next slide is a beautiful beach. And this is where, what's her name, the Hamilton girl, the Soul Surfer girl, lived, grew up there. Many of you have seen that wonderful. One of the things about Hawaii, everybody's got 18 surfboards at their house. I mean, it's just amazing. And then the next one, another beach, beautiful beach. And then finally, I think, is this waterfall, one of the many, many you see. And again, I had to thank Jan for encouraging us to do this. Otherwise, I'd have missed out on this. And then, before we went, Jan said, we've got to make reservations of places to stay on these various places. I said, no, we can just get there and find our way when we get there. And she said, I've done that for 40 years with you. We ain't doing it anymore. oh, man, we had some terrible times. But anyway, so she insisted. We did it. And if we hadn't done it, I wouldn't have had this next picture. This is where one of the places we stayed on the Big Island. Outside our room was this beautiful waterfall. We drove back 4 miles of through a macadamia nut orchard and arrived at this place. And that was the patio off there where we had breakfast the 2 mornings. So that was glorious. And then when we got to the volcano, and Jan really wanted to see the geology and the rocks. She loves that. We got there. We drove around part of the Big Island in the day. Got there about dusk, what people said. We saw the steam coming up. And then I said, gee, it's getting cold. It's probably time to go. And the ranger said, you ought to go down to the volcano village, get a bite to eat, and then come back and see it at dark when the red glow comes. I said, Jan, it's kind of cold and it's dark and I'm tired. She said, I'd really like to see that. And I said, yes, dear. And so if I hadn't, I wouldn't have. I don't know if the red glow doesn't show up so much there, but it's sort of spiritual. I mean, it's powerful. It's amazing that this lava stuff comes out of there. And we saw where a guy named Jack, his house, just in March, the lava had come up to the back door, and he left it out the front door. He stayed that long, and then his house is all covered up now. It's just amazing kinds of things. So, yeah, I had to work those slides in somehow. I don't know exactly how they fit with this sermon, except that, you know, we say people as they get older aren't able to change. Really, I mean, it was really rewarding because I had deferred to Jan, and it became one of our best trips. So you type A people out there are always in charge. Let go of it, will you, sometimes, and whatever. And then the last picture I want to show you is Jimmy Carnes. Many of you know Jimmy Carnes. Jimmy started coming here, and Nan, I don't know if Nan's here today. Nan, I didn't warn you about this. But they started coming here 6-7 years ago, and Jimmy, prostate cancer, and it spread, and died a year or so ago. And then, but I had the joy of getting to know them and then going to visit him and seeing what an amazing person he is, a Christian gentleman. And two Saturdays ago, they named a street for him, Jimmy Carnes Boulevard, right down by the track and the basketball training facility right there. Jimmy Carnes Boulevard. Jimmy Carnes lived out his Christian life. His winning record percentage was in the nearly 900, something like 800 and some to 11 losses. I mean, astounding what he did for Florida track, on and on and on, all these accolades. That was the coach of the Olympic track team in 1980 when we didn't go. One of the most powerful things, though, is in 1968, Jimmy Carnes was the first coach at the University of Florida to bring on to with an athletic scholarship an African-American. 1968. Hard to believe. Jimmy Carnes. Patience, self-control under difficult situations, because so many of the higher-ups in the university, in the government, in the state said this was wrong, it couldn't happen. Jimmy just stuck to his guns. I mean, he was one of these persons of great character, Christian character. But the thing that reason I put this up here is, as people shared, and I had the joy of being part of the invocation, but at the end, Jeremy Foley was one of the last to speak. And Jeremy Foley, last two descriptors of Jimmy Carnes with which he ended was, Jimmy Carnes was wise and he was kind. I thought, wow. Here in an athletic thing with all these sports jocks and all that, wise and kind. And I know enough a little bit about Jeremy Foley's journey. I don't know exactly the story. Some of you could tell me, but when Jeremy Foley made this sort of rise from the ticket person all the way up to the athletic director, somewhere in there he was so focused and so driven and so running over kinds of people kind of guy. And one day somebody said something to him, and he tells this story. I've heard him tell it in public, so I'm not revealing something. He said, somebody said, you got to change. And he changed. He became more kind. And so it was interesting that he picked up on that the chief characteristic that stood out to him about Jimmy Carnes. He was wise and he was kind. And you and I are encouraged today. I encourage you, I challenge you to be more patient and more kind. Now think about the one who is ultimately patient and kind. Aren't you glad God's patient with you? Oh my. I'm glad God's patient with me. If He didn't just get so angry at me and some of the things I've thought and done, and His kindness and His mercy. And I think as we think about Holy Communion, that how do we become more kind and how do we become more patient? And it's Christ in us. It's Christ in us. And when we receive Him verbally, spiritually, and tangibly, in His kindness, He became the broken body given for us. In His mercy, His grace, He became blood poured out for us, the blood of Christ shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. You and I can be more kind. You and I can be more patient. It's because if we let Christ live within us, it's His kindness, it's His patience that lives and grows in us. May that be our hope and prayer. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You for the kindness of Christ, for Your kindness that You encourage us, You reach out to us, you have every right to be upset and angry at us, but yet You love us. Oh my God. And You promise that as Christ lives within us, as we say yes to You, You say yes to us, and You make us more like You would have us to be. So God, nurture kindness in all of us gathered here. Nurture patience in all of us gathered here. And give us patience with ourselves when the baby cries and the milk is spilled, that we give ourselves a chance to start over. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you stand as we sing our closing hymn, and feel free to come and receive the gift of bread and cup as we sing.
our benediction this morning, I'm going to ask Drew Weisman. Many of you know Drew grew up in this church, and many of you know also that he's heading to Durham in a couple of weeks, University of Durham in England, have a year abroad over there, and then he'll come back and finish his MDiv, Master of Divinity, at Duke. And since he's gone to Duke, don't make these too big of words or all that sort of stuff for the benediction, but it's good to have you here, Drew.
Good to be back. Let us now go into this world with the grace and power of the God, our Father, God, our Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, empowering us to go into this world to serve Him. Amen.